Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 48 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And in this episode, I talked to Chris Lilly from Big Bob Gibson Barbecue. We, of course, talk about his restaurants. We talk about the Alabama white sauce. He actually gives a recipe for the Alabama white sauce that made them famous. We also talk about his barbecue team, what it means to him, about the success that they've had, about his family being involved. We talk about family. We talk about food in general.
If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
I guess good afternoon for you.
That's it.
So I wanted, you're obviously, you're a very busy man, and a lot of people might not know about your history. I wanted to kind of jump around a little bit. Oh, I didn't want to, but I'm probably going to jump around a little bit. Well, first off, congratulations on Memphis in May.
Thank you, Kev. I started full-time in the restaurant business with Big Bob Gibson Barbecue probably back in 1991. Okay. It wasn't till 1997 that we entered our first contest. Back then, we started entering contests on the MIM circuit around this area right here. So we got our feet wet. I entered my first Memphis in May contest, the Big World Championship in 97.
Okay.
And that was our first year. We finished 10th place in 1997 in Memphis in May. And we have yet to finish out of the top 10. We've had a fantastic track record at Memphis in May. Again, we won again this year for our fifth grand championship and 10th time to win the pork shoulder category. But, you know, nowadays I don't get to cook as many contests as I'd like to because I do so much with the restaurant. I do so much with, you know, my corporate relationships and catering events for, you know, all over the country. So I do more of that than contests. I'll do about four contests per year.
Okay, I was going to ask that.
Every year, the Memphis in May World Barbecue Championship. Okay. Every year, the American Royal, except this year, my son is getting married September 1st.
Oh,
the American Royal changed weekends this year.
Okay.
So that's going to, I can't do it, and that's going to be the first time in probably 19 or 20 years that I haven't done the American Royal.
Oh, wow.
So, but this year we could get to cook the Jack Daniel's World Barbecue Championship, another big one, and that's automatic from winning Memphis.
Okay, so is that what it is? There are certain ones where if you place to a certain level, a certain like top five, top ten, then you get automatic placement into another tournament or another contest. Is it?
Right. The American Royal, for example, they have an open contest. They also have an invitational contest. So if you win one of their satellite competitions during the year, you get an automatic into their invitational.
Okay.
Jack Daniel's, it's hard to get in Jack Daniel's. There's about three or four automatics to get you in Jack Daniel's. If you win it the year before, if you win the American Royal, if you win Memphis in May, if you win, I think, Houston Livestock and Rodeo Show, those are automatics. Other than that, you've got to win a state championship and then get drawn.
Okay, because I've seen people get excited that they got drawn. Okay.
Right. And Memphis in May, there is a hierarchy because it's full every year on how they select their teams. Since we've won it before, we'll always get an invitation to cook Memphis in May. But they do have a selection process. I have no idea what it is, though. We like to cook, you know, we like to cook the contest where we know the toughest competition is going to be. And that's usually, you know, some of the world championships and the bigger competitions, because I want to cook against the best when I cook in the competitions to, you know, to let me know how I stand. And I only have a limited amount of time during the year.
Gotcha. And you said, when you said you win, you won the pork shoulder and you've won that multiple years. Do they have it so that to win overall, you have to place a certain level within. So it's across the board when you're the grand champion, right?
Well, at the KCBS contest, it is. There's four categories: brisket, chicken, ribs, and pork, and it's a cumulative point total in all those categories. If the Memphis in May World Barbecue Championship, there's three categories. There's whole hog, whole shoulder, and ribs. You only get to pick one of those categories. I can only enter one category at Memphis in May for the professional division.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I apologize for being so naive about that, but that's not my world.
Not at all. So we picked pork shoulder every year, and that's what we compete in. So it's all or nothing, really, at Memphis
in May. Yeah, it sounds like it.
You do preliminaries where you have both on-site judges, and you have three on-site judges, and you have four blind judges who don't know who the teams are.
Okay.
And it's a cumulative score of all seven judges determines how they cut the teams down from 275 teams down to the best three ribs, the best three shoulders, and the best three whole hogs. And then if you make the finals, four judges come and judge comparison scoring to all nine teams. They come on site, wow. They sit down with you, you feed them, and they judge my shoulder against the hogs, against the ribs, and hash it all out.
Wow, that's exciting. So in that, is it three days total, or four days?
Memphis in May, we arrive on Wednesday before 12 noon, and we do not leave until Sunday, and that's when we check out. We actually go down a week before and do our setup on the weekend before, just to set up, because we're relatively close. We're just under 3 hours to Memphis.
Okay.
Because it's so much stuff, tents and flooring and pits, and because basically we're hanging out cooking all week.
Yeah, that's how, and it's a lot of fun, right? You do enjoy it still, right?
We're close enough to home, so all my friends, all my families, a lot of people that I work with during the year, they all show up, and it's just a big party right on the river.
I have to go. So, like, every year after it ends, I go, oh, I should have gone. And so next year, I plan on trying to go. And then so you have one more tournament this year, right? One more contest.
Well, I'll do Jack Daniel's World Championship, and then hopefully, if I get an invitation, I've been doing one in California in December in Palm Springs. It's called the King of the Smokers, and I do that one because it's in Palm Springs in December.
No, it sounds
but it's beautiful, and it's a down weekend for me, and it is a really prestigious invitational barbecue contest.
I'll check in with you because I live really close to Palm. Like, I live a couple hours away. So,
gotcha. Yes.
And I know that would be a nice first one to go to.
It's a good contest. It's the first weekend in December.
Okay, I'll check into it for sure, and I'll put note in the show notes too if anybody else wants to go to that, so they can check it out. And so I'd like to know a little bit more about your history with Big Bob Gibson. I know about it, but people might not know. Did the restaurant itself start in 1925, or did it start before then?
1925. Okay. It is my wife's great-grandfather who started the restaurant. Okay. So we're fourth generation, and my two sons, who are now in the business with me, are fifth generation. Wow. Family-owned barbecue restaurant in Decatur, Alabama. So we've been doing a long time, passing down a lot of traditions, a lot of pit room knowledge. So that's my job right now, pass it down to my sons and let them take a load off my shoulders.
Now, were you interested in barbecue prior to getting married into the family? Was that part of your life, or cooking outside? Were you grilling?
Always had great memories of myself and my father in my backyard grilling on the charcoal grill in the backyard. He had an old cast aluminum PK grill. Okay. And also Weber as well. And we used to fire those things up and cook them. So a lot of fond memories. But it was mostly him cooking and me just helping out. I've always loved food. I've always been sort of a food guy, but I never would have dreamed I would be in the business. I went to college and have a degree in marketing and finance.
Okay.
So definitely helped me out in the barbecue business. But I didn't really get immersed in cooking until I joined up in 1991, 1992.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the sauce? I don't want the recipe, obviously, but the white sauce, what makes it so unique other than it being white?
So the white barbecue sauce was a Big Bob Gibson original. That was one of his two sauces back in 1925. And he cooked two things. He cooked whole pork shoulder and he cooked whole split chickens. He wanted a sauce for his chickens that gave them that vinegary sort of twang that all barbecue needs. Mm-hmm. But then he wanted an ingredient in there to keep the chickens moist after they come off the pit, after they're on there 3 hours, something to keep the chickens from drying out. That's when he added mayonnaise. So it's very simple. It's vinegar, mayonnaise, black pepper, salt, maybe a little bit of lemon juice, and some more ingredients, and there you go, barbecue white sauce.
And how interesting is it that he created something that became synonymous with Alabama barbecue? It's just, and other places have white sauce as well, right?
It's really crazy. I mean, I travel a lot, and that's I love to travel. I love to travel and cook and talk barbecue and talk food. And I'm seeing barbecue white sauce on menus at some of the finest restaurants in the country, white tablecloth restaurants. Mm-hmm. That all, and they usually give a nod to Alabama white sauce or Morgan County white sauce, or they might even have Big Bob Gibson's name on the menu. I mean, you give us a lot of credit out there. So I'm always thrilled when I see a restaurant out there with white barbecue sauce on the menu.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, that's definitely a great nod to you guys. So and I love it. It's fantastic. Well, so now as an author, you have two books, right?
Yes, I've got Big Bob Gibson Barbecue book. That was my first book, sort of the history of Big Bob Gibson's, a lot of what I learned in the pit room, and some old the big meat recipes, whole hog, whole shoulders, briskets, things like that, traditional barbecue. And then I've got a book that is out called Fire and Smoke, and it's probably 50-50 on grilling and then low and slow cooking recipes as well.
And how long have you been? You've been with Kingsford for a while now, right?
Gosh, I was thinking back the other day. I think I've been working with Kingsford for about a decade now. So right over 10 years, I've been doing things with Kingsford charcoal. And it was interesting. I was using Kingsford before there was any kind of relationship. You know,
that's
I was using
a good
Kingsford.
Thing.
Yes, it was. And I was using it successfully, you know, in my backyard, but also in competition, and doing a really good job with the team. The team was doing a good job with it in competition. So that's how our relationship was born.
Okay. And then also, are you a brand ambassador as well for Yeti?
I do use Yeti coolers exclusively, so I'm ambassador for them. And this year, I started doing work with Smithfield.
Okay.
And now have not only used their product in competition, but I use it here at the restaurant too. And really, really proud and love the new relationship with them.
That is fantastic. And no, they're a great brand. Now, when you travel around the country, are there any barbecue joints or any places that you know you have to stop? Or is there a specific style of barbecue that's not Alabama style, not Southern style that you do like? Is there?
Yeah, I love different styles of barbecue. It not only is delicious to me, but it's also sort of a learning. I'm all about learning, and if I'm not learning every day, and then I'm not doing my job, because a lot of people come to me with questions, and I have to know. So when I get a chance to go to Texas or the Carolinas or Kansas City or really all over the country, if I hear about a particular restaurant, or sometimes I just go door to door and just, you know, eat barbecue. I really like to know what's out there. You know, it gives me ideas for what I do in the restaurant, for what I do on the road. It keeps me up to date, and it's always good to meet people in the barbecue world. So absolutely. Just in the past probably year and a half, I went to Texas and spent a week going through Texas, eating all the barbecue places I could until I was so sick I had.
So if you're not eating barbecue, what are you eating? What do you like to eat?
Oh gosh, that's one of my favorite things to do when I travel. And my favorite place to travel is probably New York City because of the food. So it's not all exclusive barbecue when I go travel. I mix in all types of cuisine. If I hear about a restaurant that's getting good reviews, or if I have a friend that's a chef there, or a friend of a friend who's a chef there, I'll always stick my head in and try out and see what they're doing. So I love food. I love all types of food, all different types of cuisine. So, you know, whether it's, gosh, you name it, I eat it and enjoy.
It sounds like that you love food. And I noticed, too, that you do share a lot of recipes that aren't just barbecue in general. So you do love cooking, and I've seen you on different shows. It seems like that you definitely stray a little outside that box, or a little bit further than outside the box, because you do seem to love food and the nuances of cooking.
I do, you know, and keep in mind this restaurant I'm at has been here since 1925. So a lot of times, you know, I've got to stick to what's working here.
Of course.
And go way out of the box here and do some highly creative stuff in the restaurant, because it's working good the way it is. Mm-hmm. I don't want to screw anything up. But when I travel and do wine and food festivals or do catering, you know, in California or Miami or New York or wherever I'm cooking, that's when I try to mix up my menu and do some things that are a little bit outside of barbecue, or that mix Southern barbecue elements with more of sort of a high-end cuisine. And a lot of the recipes that I do and a lot of the ideas that I come up with new recipes were born from my travels, whether I eat a spice or see a cooking method that I want to bring back here and sort of mix barbecue and sort of do a barbecue, you know, whether it be Asian or, you know, fusion, just any kind of little thing. I always have my eyes and ears open. I'm always learning. I'm always applying that when I come back to the restaurant.
And it's funny, you probably never imagined that you'd be you're in a world that's further. It's not just barbecue. It's enormous now. You're in that food world, which is it, and food has become such a big deal. Not that it's always been important to eat, but it just feels like it's been elevated to a certain level.
Oh, definitely. And what's good about being in the food industry and in traveling and meeting, you know, some of the people and the chefs that I meet around the country, it's really a small world.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm going, you know, if I'm traveling, going to a city I've never been at and call some friends, they know where I need to go and they know the people there cooking the food. Uh-huh. So I usually get good food and good service wherever I go. And that's sort of a bonus when you're, you know, doing what I do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And it's exciting too, because you probably get to go maybe sometimes behind the scenes that a lot of people don't get a chance to do.
Yes, and that's what I love. Yeah. Again, it gives me opportunity to check out new techniques or, you know, things that people are using or equipment people are using all over the country.
Are there, barbecue books, are there any barbecue books that you could recommend that aren't yours that you, or ones that you do like checking out or that you've seen recently that inspired you?
You know, gosh, Aaron Franklin's book was a gorgeous book that he did recently. I haven't put my finger on the new Praise the Lord book from my friends in Murfreesboro yet, but I'm going to do that.
It
and
is
I'm
going to
check that one out. I can't wait to see that. I know Amy's done a good job promoting that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful book. But yeah, I got a lot of favorites. So if you'll turn with me here. So right, look at there. Look at there. See? Right. This is my office at work, and I absolutely take a look at other people's cookbooks to see what they're doing, get ideas, and it's good reading.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that, and I'll pause that later on, and I'll be able to put a list of these are the books that are on Chris Lilly's shelf. It'll be in the show.
I didn't know you were going up there, so there's probably some.
No, I won't pause it for anybody else, just for myself. someone could do that on their own. But I also, what can we look forward to in the future? Is there anything that you want to promote or anything that's coming up that you're excited about?
Gosh, I'll be in New York City this next week at a restaurant called Pig Beach, doing a guest chef appearance up there on Thursday evening. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be the 26th, I believe. Okay. Let's see what else I've got going on. Jack Daniel's coming up. That'll be a good one. Everything. Most of my travels are first part of the year.
That's what
I just. I just got back from Sonoma. I actually did a catering event for NASCAR and Microsoft out there at the NASCAR event out there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that was a good one that I look forward to every year. Just traveling, cooking barbecue as much and as often as I can.
And you have a wedding, right?
And a wedding. Well, and that's another reason is my wife said, do not schedule anything in July and August. We have a wedding. So that's why I'm a little light right now, because I've got wedding weekends and couple weekends and parties and the to-do list before my son gets married. So that's where my main focus is right now, family.
Is there any barbecue on the menu for the wedding?
You know what? I'm going to enjoy this wedding. And so
I'm not saying from you, from somebody else.
Cook barbecue for my own son. Wedding.
No, not from you.
not a chance. No, most of my friends and most of his friends, because he's in the barbecue world as well, that we're close enough to ask them to come cook at the wedding. We'll probably be at the wedding. So
gotcha.
It's one of those where we're just going to go enjoy it. We'll have some good food, no doubt. But at this wedding, it will not be barbecue.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time. I really do appreciate it. And congratulations to you and your team. And is there also really quickly about your team? How do you put that together? Is that something, are there guys from your restaurant, or are there guys that you've just known for a long time?
You know, it's different depending on how far away the contest is. The good thing about it now is I got both my sons in the business, so I'm not only teaching them at work, I'm teaching them on the competition circuit as well. So they're at every contest with me, as well as my father-in-law. And then it's just, you know, friends and relatives and people that come want to hang out with us and everything. But right now, you know, it's family.
It sounds like family.
Friends, and that makes up the core of the team. Really proud of the boys this year at Memphis in May. They took night duty. So basically when I went back to the hotel, they were watching temperatures all night, stoking the fire, making sure that when I showed up the next morning at 5:30, everything was perfect.
Looks like
they showed off. Hey, the good news is I think they won them a job. So sleep in Memphis for me.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you again for your time, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you in December.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll see you then.
You take care, Chris. Bye.
Take care.